wanted to speak about a certain topic that relates to biblical status. And we'll expand from there to areas of Kavod and Mora of different Rabbanim and Talmidei Chacham. The Gemara says in Shuas on Daf Lamed Amud Beis that there was a Talmid Chacham that came into Beis Din to testify about a certain case. And the Dayanim were perplexed what they should do, because on one hand, Edim have to stand. It says, V'amdu shnei anashim, amdu shnei anashim v'fnei Elohim. It says in the Pasuk in Chumash and the Gemara Darshans that Dayanim, when they give testimony, must stand in front of the Beis Din. The way the Chiddush Aran writes this in Sanhedrin, the nature of the mitzvah is it's covered to the Dayanim. So on one hand, you have a mitzvah essay to stand when you give testimony. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah essay to give cover to Talmidei Chacham. It's not respectful that you should have this Talmidei Chacham stand up and not sit down in front of everyone. It was would be embarrassing. So the Dayanim didn't know what to do. And the Gemara says the following phrase, high essay, the high essay. The mitzvah of standing when you give testimony is a mitzvah essay. And the mitzvah of giving cover to Rabbanim, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, is also a mitzvah sese. So as the Gemara says in Chulin, different places, my umma hayese, my hayese, it's a tie. And l'havdol, l'havdol, it's not baseball, you know, a tie goes to the runner, but in halacha, in Torah, what are you supposed to do when you have a tie? So the Gemara says the following. It's not a tie. The Gemara says, essay to cover the Torah adif. That the essay of giving cover to Talmidei Chachamim and giving cover to the Torah is miskaber, beats out the mitzvah's essay of standing when you give testimony. And thereby, the Gemara says that Dayanim sat the Talmud Chacham down, and he gave his testimony sitting, because they wanted to show him deference and cover. So that's what the Gemara writes in Shuas and Daf Lamed Amud Beis. So the Maariv Chayis in the back of the Gemara Masechet Shuas asks a kasha. And he writes that there is a Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Mem Amud Aleph, and the way the Tosfos Yeshanim there is Masber the Gemara. The Gemara says, in a situation where a man, God forbid, was ma'anis a woman, he lived with her against her will. So the Torah writes that he has an obligation to marry her. It says lo siel isha, lamed vav, not lamed aleph. He has an obligation to marry her. Of course, if she doesn't want to marry him, there is no mitzvah. Probably she would not want to, but in the event that she would want to marry this man, the Torah mandates that there is a mitzvah that he has to marry her, and that's a whole discussion. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a knas? There's an afikayam that discusses this at great length, but that's not for now. But in essence, he has an obligation to marry her, and the Gemara gives a case where what would be if he was ma'anes, a woman that was a mamzeris. We know that a man is not allowed to marry a mamzeris. A woman is not allowed to marry a mamzer. A mamzer, mamzeris, is a child from a product of a chiv karis or more, a chiv misa, anything more than a chiv karis. Chiv karis and more, chiv karis and more than a chiv karis. So that child, that man, or that woman that was born from that union cannot marry into a regular Jewish kal Hashem. They can marry a ger, they can marry a mamzeris. But in this situation, what's he supposed to do? He was ma'anis a mamzeris, he has a mitzvah to marry her. So the Gemara says, well, let's think. We have an accepted principle in Shas that says, esse docha lo tase. The esse is the mitzvah to marry her against the lav of lo yavo mamzeris bekal Hashem. So the esse should be docha to lav. So the Gemara says, not true. In this case, we don't apply the principle of esse docha lo tase, because the essay here is weak. Why? Because it might not always be fulfilled, because if she doesn't want to marry the man, then the mitzvah doesn't get off the ground. So the Gemara says, essay can only be docha lo tase if the essay is a strong essay. If it's a weak essay, because it might not always be fulfilled, it doesn't have the strength to push off the lav and to be miskaber and trump the lav. So therefore, the Gemara says, in such a case, he cannot marry her if he was ma'anis and mamzeris. That's what the Gemara writes based on the Tosfos Yeshanim's Hasber over there in Maseches Ksubos and Daf Mem Amud Aleph. You know, the Ramban is a famous Hasber that says the reason why Ava, the reason why an essay beats out a lav is because an essay, a positive mitzvah is done out of love for Hashem. You proactively do something. You shake a lulav, you blow the shofar, you eat the matzah. A lav is done out of yira. You abide by the lav because you're afraid of fear of Hashem. So when you have Ava versus yira, Ava, of course, wins. And in this situation, we cannot say the essay is dochad alav because, as we said, it's weak. So that's the principle that emerges from the Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Mem Amud Aleph. So the Maariv Chayes has a kasha, a strong kasha. He says, how could the Gemara say in Shavuos Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, or Lamed Amud Beis, rather, the Gemara says that you sit the Talmud Chacham down when he gives the testimony because the essay of Kavod HaTorah is adif. It beats out the essay of an aid that he has to stand. Why is that true? A Talmud Chacham could be mochel on his kavod. A Talmud Chacham, anytime he says, you know what, you don't have to get up. And he says, you know, you don't have to give food or drink to him. If he's a Talmud Chacham, shemachal akvodo, rav shemachal akvodo, kvodo machal. So doesn't that make that essay a weak essay? And thereby, if it's a weak essay, so how does it have the power to be docha the essay of the mitzvah of standing when you give testimony? That's the kasha, the Maariv Chayes. Everyone got the kasha? It's a strong kasha. So I wanted to suggest a mahalach to try to answer this kasha. There is a famous piece of the Brisker Rav in the first Shtikel Torah in his Chibur on the Rambam, the Griz on the Rambam. He develops this beautiful theory. And the theory runs as follows. If you look in the Rambam, the Rambam has two prakim in Perakei and Perak Vav in Hilchos Talmud Torah where he dedicates to showing respect to Rabbanim. And he points out in Perakei when he deals with a Rabbo Mufak. What is a Rabbo Mufak? A Rabbo Mufak is your Rebbe that has taught you most of your learning. Now, the Ma'arik says we don't have such a Rabbo Muvak nowadays because our Sfarim have taught us most of our wisdom and knowledge in Torah. When you say you have a Rabbo Muvak, it's just complimentary. Or if a Rebbe says he has a Talmud Muvak, it's complimentary. But we don't really have a Rabbo Muvak nowadays. But in theory, it exists. So when it comes to a Rabbo Muvak, the Rambam writes that there is a concept of Mechila. That a Rabbo Muvak can mochel kavod and mora that is due to him. Now, what is kavod? Kavod is all the positive things, to give food, to give drink, to stand up for him. What is mora? Reverence, all the negative things. Not to interrupt him, you know, not to sit in his seat. Even if he's arguing with someone, you're not allowed to side with your Rebbe or parent in front of another person. How is that disrespectful? Because the father doesn't need the son to side with him. You know, as opposed to the other guys. It's kind of like you're putting yourself on equal footing to your father. So the Rambam writes in Perakei that a Rabbo Muvak can be mochel on his kavod. He has the ability to mochel on his kavod and his yira. Pashup shot mora and kavod, he can be mochel. If you look in Perak Vav, the Rambam never once mentions mechila. Now, what's the topic of Perak Vav? The topic is a regular Talmud Chacham. Or we'll call him a Rabbo Sheino Muvak. A generic Talmud Chacham, who is not your Rabbo Muvak. There the Rambam never mentions the concept of Mechil. So the Brisker Rav is bothered by, why does the Rambam only mention it regarding a Rabbo Muvak and doesn't mention it by a generic Talmud Chacham? So the Brisker Rav, of deference to the Nosei Kelim and to the Kesef Mishnah, the great Shulchan Aruch, so the Kesef Mishnah was already bothered by this Kasha. And he answers, of course Mechila works by both. The Rambam was just writing, I would add a Havamina that a Rabbo Muvak is such so great and has taught you so much that maybe he cannot be Mochel on his Kavod. Kamash Malan, that even a Rabbo Muvak can. But of course a regular Talmud Chacham can be Mochel on his Kavod. And just because he omitted it doesn't mean a thing. That's the way the Kesef Mishnah answers. So the Brisker Rav says he wants to beg to differ with the Kesef Mishnah. And the Brisker Rav develops this beautiful Shtikel Torah that let's say over now, Biz Hashem. So he wants to say that there's two tracks, or as in Brisker Lomdus, there's Svei Dinim, right? There's two halachas. What are the two halachas? The first halacha is called kibud b'mora, which we mentioned. That is only generated by a rabba mufak. Esa shemelo kachatira, or as Tosis writes on Baba Kama, the gadol ador, who's like automatically everyone's rabba mufak. That is a personal relationship you have with your rabba mufak, and that requires of you that you have to give him kavod and mora. And that is a pure and pristine, a very unique relationship. But then when it comes to a generic Talmud Chacham, there's a completely different track. And that's not called Kibud V'mora. That's called Hidur. Vadarta Pnei Zaken. That there's a notion that you have to glorify the Torah. Vadarta Pnei Zaken. And in essence, he is the address of you giving kavod to the Torah. It's not a personal kavod or glorification or giving to him as the gavra. You're just, he is the conduit of you're giving kavod to the Torah itself. And therefore he says that these are completely, as I said, two different tracks and two different dinim that one has to treat completely different from one another. For example, he writes, let's say you see your rabbo muvak in a besa kise or a besa mirchatz. Are you obligated to show him kavod and mora? Yes, absolutely. When you see a generic talmud chacham in a besa mirchatz or besa kise, are you obligated? Absolutely not. It's not a place to glorify the Torah in the besa kise or besa mirchatz. But a rabbo muvak, wherever he is, you have an obligation to show him the proper kavod and mora. That's one very clear nafgamina that he gives. A second nafgamina he points out. If you see a rabbo muvak, let's say Hashem granted you with Superman vision, you can see from 20, 25 miles away, and you see a rabbo muvak walking towards you, you're mechuyev to stand up. Mole enof. What's the halacha by a generic talmud chacham or a rabbo shena muvak? Only within 6 feet. Arba amos. Because the obligation to glorify the Torah is when he's in your close proximity. But if it's your rabbo muvak, where you have this unique relationship, then even 25 miles away, you have to stand up. So that's a second nafkamina. And then he points out further. He says that if you look in the Rambam Hilchos Mamrim, he points out if you had to compare your parents to one of the two tracks, who would you compare them to? So he says in his explicit Rambam, the Rambam says that your rabbo muvak is like your parents. He says you never would say such a thing by a generic talmud chacham. You don't have that unique relationship. Do you know by a parent there's a chiyuv of kibud and mora as well? The truth is we should stand up for our parents every time they come in a room, unless they're mochel. That's the real halacha. And that comparison can only be said by a rabba muvak to a parent, because a rabba muvak has kibud v'mora, a parent also does. But hidur is a notion that's linked to the Torah. And therefore the Rambam writes that I can compare a rabba muvak with parents. That's number three. Number four he points out. Very interesting. He points out when the Rambam uses the language of the obligation to show kavod and mora to a rabbo muvak, he says the word chayiv. When he discusses the concept to show proper respect to a generic talmud chacham, he says mitzvah lahadro. What's the difference between the word chayiv and mitzvah? So the Brisker Rav says that the Rambam was trying to convey chayiv means to him as a gavra. You are chayiv and kibud v'mora because he himself as a personality generates that. And you are chayiv to him as a gavra. It is a personal relationship. When it comes to hidur, it's mitzvah hadro. You have a mitzvah to really mechabed or to glorify the Torah. As I said before, he's the address of it. But the language of mitzvah is appropriate for Rabbo She'eno Muvak. The language of chayiv is very appropriate for the Rabba Muva because you have that personal issue. Chayiv to him. That's what the Rabba's trying to bring out. And he points out that there's a Gemara in Kiddushin, an amazing story. I think it's Lamed Aleph and Beis. Gemara says, I think it was Rabba's son's wedding. So Rabba, the great Amora, was pouring drinks for other Amoraim at the wedding. He was like the waiter. So the Gemara says that Ikbid Rabba, or Ikbid Rava, it was either Rabba or Rava. And Rashi says he got upset because they didn't get up for him a little bit. That's how Rashi learns. Now, even though he was Mocha on his cover, he's acting as their waiter, but they still should have showed some Derech Eretz. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Okay. The Brisker Rav writes that the Rambam argues on Rashi. And you know what the Rambam says? Says the Brisker Rav. You know why he got upset? He got upset because, not he personally, we can add this on. He got upset because they didn't do the Halacha right. Because he, to them, was a Rabbo Sheino Muvak. He was like a generic Talmud Chacham. When it comes to a generic Talmud Chacham, what's the Halacha? The Halacha is Hidur. That's not subject to Mechila. So why didn't they get up? And we could add on a Brisker Vort. He didn't get upset personally. He got upset that he didn't do the halacha. It's a Brisker Vort, if you say it like the Ram. He wasn't upset. According to Rashi, he was upset because personally he was insulted. According to the Brisker Rav's Vort in the Ram, he was upset not because he personally was insulted. He got upset because they didn't do the halacha. Because it's not Nitan L'Mechila, so they should have gotten up. You can't be mochel on Hidur. And when the Gemara says, the Dvar Yaakov in Kedushin points this out, when the Gemara says, Rav Shemochel, Akvoto, Kvoto, Mochel, according to the Brisker Rav will have to learn, it's talking about a Rabbo Mufak. Even though that's not the simplest reading of the Gemara, but you have to say it like that. Mm-hmm. When the Gemara says, Rav Shemochel, Akvoto, Kvoto, Mochel, according to the Brisker Rav of the Ram, it's only a Rabbo Mufak, because a Rabbo Shein Mufak cannot be mochel on his covet. Because really, covet at Torah. So when the Gemara says, Taras of delay, it's talking about the Rabba Muvak. He himself generates it because of your personal relationship. So, Memeila, if you say like this, so says the Brisker Rav, I want you to know something. I disagree with the Kesef Mishnah. And when the Rama mentions Mechila and Pirakei, that's only specifically by a Rabba Muvak. But in Pirak Vav, when he's discussing a generic Tamachachim and the midst of Hidur, you know why the Rambam leaves out Mechila? He leaves out Mechila because you can't be mochel on it. The Kesef Mishnah learned, he said, no, he didn't. He omitted it because it was a Dover Poshet that he can be mochel. No, the Brisker Rav says he omitted it because it's not Nitan L'Mechila. He doesn't have the Bailus on it to be mochel. It's not his to be mochel. And then the Brisker Rav concludes the piece and he points out that my Shtukal Torah, he's so intellectually honest, is against the Shulchan Aruch. The Kesef Mishnah and the Shulchan Aruch are the same God of Rabbi Yosef Karo. Because in the Shulchan Aruch paskins, in your day, I think it's Reish Mem Beis, that not only can a Rabba Muvak mochel on his kibud and mora that is due to him, but a generic Tamachachem ki mochel on Hidur that is due to him. So the Brisker Rav says, what I said is against the Shulchan Aruch, but the Mechaber is l'shitoso. Because he didn't buy the Schiluk. The Kesef Mishnah held that you can be mochel both tracks, Kibud V'mora and Hidur. But the Brisker Rav said Kibud V'mora is you can be mochel, but Hidur you cannot. So it could very well be that if we think about this for a moment, and I heard this kasha many, many years ago from an Avreich, I don't know his name, in New Haven, and later on, many years ago, Dr. Belenzon Zatzal told me that this kasha he heard from the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal of Kiryat Yavne, Rav Goldvich. What is the kasha he had on the Brisker Rav? We know that by a Seder, what happens if a Talmud's by his Rebbe for the Seder? So you have to do Haseba. What's a Talmud supposed to do? It's disrespectful to do a Seba in front of his Rebbe. Daniel Ambelu is always with us. You guys remember Daniel Ambelu. Daniel Ambelu went to Shalbim. So he works in one of the hotels, so when we're at the hotel for a Seder, so he eats with us. So he always asks before we start the Seder, can he do a Seder? So it's interesting. If you look in the Rambam writes that if a Talmud's by his Rebbe and he wants to do a Seder, the Rambam writes, no problem, but he's got to ask him permission. Both a Rabo Muvak and a Rabo She'eno Muvak. And it's quoted like that in the Shulchan Aruch. So this Avreich and Rav Golvich Zatzal asked, what's going on here? According to the Prisker Rav, it's not Nitan L'Mechila. A Rabo Muvak can be Mochel, but a Rabo Shein Muvak cannot. So the Prisker Rav Shtikl Taira is very difficult when you try to plug it into the Rambam Hilchos Chametz Matzah. That was their kasha. So Rav Golvich Tzatzal said the following teretz, and it runs basically like this. I thought maybe you could medayik a certain way to support his answer. When the Talmud is by his Rebbe, you know, he's not as relaxed, let's say, maybe he eventually will be. In order to express cheres, freedom, there were two takanas the Chachamim made. The four cups, Arba Kosos, and Heseba. If a Talmud doesn't feel comfortable in front of his Rebbe, how can he express the cheres? He can't. So therefore, it's like you turn the light off or turn the light on, and you say to your Talmud before the Seder begins, you know, I want you to relax, I want you to feel at home, and I want you to feel comfortable that you can express cheres and that you can do Heseba without a problem. It's not really mechila. It's kind of like turning the switch and changing the environment so that the Talmud will feel comfortable and he'll have no problem doing his Seba, and he becomes obligated in that Seba. And you know what the language the Rambam uses? He doesn't use mocho. What language does he use? He says, no sin reshus. I think that language is very telling. That language is trying to reflect that it's not an issue of mechila. It's an issue of, I'm giving you reshus now, relax and feel free that you can express the cheres. So if you say like that, now this Rambam is not against the Brisker Rav. And it's a completely different concept of giving him the ability to do Haseb. So if you say like this Brisker Rav, it's possible to say now that we can answer the original Kasha that we had. Now I want you to know that Rashi, there's a machlokish Rashi and the Rabbeinu Chananel in Shvuas Daf Lamed and Beis, when it said essay to cover the Torah Adif, which essay is it referring to? So it works beautifully. So machlokish Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, if you remember, what was our kasha from the Maritz Chayis? The kasha was, how could the Gemara say the essay of cover the Torah beats out the essay of standing when you give Edus? Why do you say that? The essay is not strong, it's weak. Because you could be mochel. So if you define the essay in the Gemara, as I said, it's a Machlokes Rashi Rabbeinu Chananel, if you look there, but if you define it as being mora and kavod, so lemaisa, the truth of the matter is that this is a great kasha. Because it's, since you can mochel, it's not strong. But it, the Pashup shot in the Gemara, when it says Es Hashem Lekecha, when it says Es HaKavod HaTorah Adif, it's referring to the mitzvah of Hidur, of getting up for a generic Talmud Chacham, which is not the track of Kibud V'mora, which is the track of what? Hidur. V'hadar T'Bnei Zaken. And according to the Brisker Rav, that's not Nitan L'Mechila. So we had asked, according to the Maritz Chayis, he says, why does the Gemara pass an essay to cover the Torah's Adiv, but it's weak based on the Ksubis Daf Mem Amar Aleph, that if something's weak, an essay is weak, it can't be Doch Alav. So if an essay is weak, it shouldn't be able to Doch another essay. Isn't this essay weak? The Torah says, no, it's not weak at all. Because in the track of Hidur's Ganon, it's not Mechilable, if there's such a word. You can't be Mochel. And therefore, since you can't be Mochel, it remains strong and steadfast. And therefore, the essay of Kavadat Torah is Taka Adif, and therefore we can sit the Talmud Chacham down, and he can what? He can give his testimony with by sitting and not a problem at all. So if you utilize this Brisker Rav, maybe we could give the teretz to that Kasha. I want to just close. We have a few minutes left about Tisha B'Av. And I just wanted to close with the following. You know, one of the six things we are asked when you go to Shamayim after Admei Ve'esrim is Sipitali Yeshua. Were you, in your lifetime, asking fervently for the Mashiach coming? And if you think about that, and you need to get a grade from Hashem, what does the grade consist of? So at first glance, you would think, you know, how much kavana a person has when he says it's Semach David. But I think it's much more than that. And I think to be really graded on the Sipit Yeshua, it has to be determined how much you really mourn for the Beis HaMikdash. Because if you didn't mourn for the Beis HaMikdash properly and in a serious manner, then in what way were you sipitali Yeshua? You really wanted the Mashiach to come? If you really wanted the Mashiach to come, why aren't you mourning by the Beis HaMikdash? And you can't make a claim, oh, it happened many years ago. We know the Yerushalmi says any door where the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt in as if it was destroyed. So we have to ask ourselves, are we really mourning properly? Because I think a major part of that grade for that question is, how seriously did you take Tisha B'Av? Did you think about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash? You know, I once heard from Rav Shamshon Pinkus, he said a beautiful pshat. You know, there's a famous medrash that says that HaKadosh Baruch was happy when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because the Beis HaMikdash was like a mashkon instead of killing us. Why would he be happy about that? So there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu in Perek Zion that says that the Jews felt they could do anything that they wanted to, any aveira, but as long as they went to the Beis HaMikdash, they'd be fine. If you look in Yirmiyahu Perek Zion, it's an amazing thought. They felt like it was a place of security. So the meaning is Hashem was happy when he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because he said, now when I have to rebuild it, the Jews will realize what in essence is the Beis HaMikdash. It's not a safe haven where you can do anything you want and just be able to escape and go there. That's a wrong perspective, a misunderstanding of the meaning of what the Beis HaMikdash is all about. That's why Hashem was happy. The Jews will eventually see what it is. And we have to yearn for it. And that means all the Averas that we did, the Shlosha Averas, Sinas Chinam, we have to try to work on and make better and rectify and treat it seriously. You know, the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Yarei Shamayim, have to remember the Churban every day of our lives. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shla HaKodesh, before you bench on Shabbos, what do we say? Shir HaMalos. How many of us say Al Naros Bavel during the week? Takes maybe 30, 40 seconds. Oh, you don't have the bencher that has it? Well, get it. It's not so hard to do. That's the way you're... It's the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. A whole Yarei Shamayim to remember the Churban every day. To make it part of your life. This is one of the questions you go to Shamayim about. It can't just be how much Kavan you have in Semach David. It's got to be when this summer comes, when summers come around, how much did you really internalize the loss of the Beis HaMikdash in the 3 weeks? And the truth is, the Mesillas Yesharim says, this world is not the Iker. The next world is the Iker. And we have to realize the mandate that the Rav Zatzal would speak about so many times, to sanctify the mundane. That's what we have to try to do. You know the stories told about a guy Hashem tells, in 2 weeks, I'm sending the Mashiach. He says, no, 3 weeks. I need the vacation. He wants to have his vacation. How many of us are like that guy? The Mashiach can come, but in 3 weeks. Not in 2 weeks, because you have the vacation. The enjoyment, okay, everyone, you know, you have to make, everyone enjoys Gashmius, but the Iker is not Gashmius. And wanting and aspiring and questing for the Mashiach is that perspective that I want to sanctify the mundane. The Iker is the next world, not this world. You know, they say a story about one of the great Reichmans in Toronto, great Virum, that before he passed away, he left them two envelopes, his relatives. One to be opened at his Petira after he passed away, and the second to be opened at Shloshim. So after they passed away, the family opened the first envelope, and it said that he wanted to be buried in his favorite socks. So they asked the Chevra Kedisha, and they asked a few times, and to the mirror of the Chevra Kedisha, they said, under no circumstances, we don't bury anyone in clothes. That said, even the biggest kvir doesn't make a difference. So he was buried regularly, like every other Yid. And 30 days later, at the Shloshim, the family opened up the second envelope, and this envelope says, I hope you didn't listen to me. Because the bottom line, the message I want to convey to you is, you bring nothing to the next world except Torah and mitzvahs and chesed. Not even my favorite socks. And that's the right perspective of what this world is, a pathway to the next world. That's what Tzipitli Yeshua is. For a pure and pristine world where everyone sees Hashem, everyone's learning and doing chesed, and that we're not bogged down on the Gashmius in this world. And that we appreciate the Beis HaMikdash. It's a safe haven, not after we've done all the affairs in the world. It's a safe haven because we've come closer to Hashem. So I want to wish everyone hopefully we won't have to fast, but if we do have to fast, if the Mashiach does not come, it should be a meaningful fast. It should be a time of cheshbon ha-nefesh, a time of yearning, and a day to use it as a springboard that not just on Tisha B'Av do we fulfill Tzipitli Yeshua, but every day of our lives by living properly, by davening properly, and making it a real part of our religious and spiritual personas. Thank you, everyone. Have a good Shabbos, good fast.